moment, shall we, to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to break into the reading at verse 35. Luke 7 and 35. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Verse 36 says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. Please notice that little phrase, within himself, saying, this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who or what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Perhaps I should begin by asking a question. How much do we love the Lord? I read verse 35 because the Lord Jesus has just given a little bit of a discourse on John the Baptist. And he seems to conclude that by saying, wisdom is justified of all of her children. And then he goes on to tell the story of two children. I'll let you decide which one is a child of wisdom. Not a difficult question, is it? Wisdom is justified of all of her children. In this little story that we have a man called Simon the Pharisee. He invited the Lord Jesus to his house for a meal. Could I ask you this? Why did he invite the Lord Jesus? I won't bother to ask you why the woman came, but what was Simon doing? Why did he invite the Lord? I might make a couple of suggestions and I might leave it for you to think about. But he did invite the Lord. And then I want you to notice, just very simply, now a few little thoughts. In the little story at the end of Luke 7, you've got a contrast of two individuals. the woman and Simon the Pharisee. You've got a little parable of two debtors, and it's a very significant little parable in the context here. And then I suggest to you, you've got the characteristics of these two individuals, and one of them comes shining clear as a child of wisdom. Wisdom in our Bible, you will remember, is in the Old Testament sometimes a personification of the Lord himself. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. You remember, the fool dieth for want of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the psalmist says, is the beginning of wisdom. Happy is the man that obtaineth wisdom. A lot of lovely things in your Bible about wisdom. Wisdom is justified in all of her children. Let me begin by suggesting to you that when we read this little story of Luke 7 at the end, each one of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of a woman anointing the Lord Jesus. Now, it's nice to read them through and compare them, and I think all of you will agree with me on this, that Matthew, Mark, and John are referring to an event that happened in the last week of the earthly life of our Lord, if I can use that term, whereas Luke is writing of a different time altogether. This story took place a year or so prior to the anointing of Bethany. This one, very likely, is in Galilee. There are a number of other differences. This one is in the house of Simon the Pharisee. The other is mentioned in Matthew and Mark, at least, as the house of Simon the leper. It's been speculated over the years that Simon the leper might have been a husband of Martha, sister of Mary and Lazarus. I don't know whether that's true or not. But in any event, don't be confused by Simon the leper versus Simon the Pharisee. Simon, I understand, was a fairly common name, much like John would be in our society. There'd be a lot of Simons around. But in any event, the two accounts are evidently different. Another difference you'll notice is this. In the account of Matthew, Mark, and John, you will remember the woman, whom we assume to be Mary, brings the alabaster box and anoints the head of the Lord Jesus. John does mention the feet, by the way, but anoints the head of this woman. No mention of the head here. You might notice that in Matthew, Mark, and John, I don't see any tears. I do see appreciation. But in Luke, oh, there's lots of tears. There's something different. I'm saying to you that the woman of Matthew, Mark, and John wouldn't be called a sinful woman. Certainly if she's Mary of Bethany, she wouldn't. But this woman is a well-known woman. This woman comes because of her love for Christ. When you look at these little stories, then, there are a number of differences between them. I want to leave with you then just three or four little thoughts now. Three things the Lord says that Simon failed to do. No water to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, that might not sound so important to you and to me, but it is significant in light of this story. You remember the teaching of John 13 where the Lord washed the disciples' feet? And you've all gone through that passage. But you will have heard and understand that it was typical when a guest came to someone's house that the man or a servant would meet the guest at the door with water to wash the feet of the guest. No water from Simon the Pharisee. I'm asking the question again, now why did Simon invite him at all? The Lord says of Simon the Pharisee, no kiss and no oil to anoint his head. Three things Simon failed to do. I would suggest to you there's a reason why he failed to do it. And the reason has everything to do with appreciation. So my little question again, why did he invite him at all? But then when you come to the woman, you'll notice that there's three things that she did. She washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Secondly, you notice she kissed his feet. And then that precious ointment she put upon the feet of the Lord Jesus. Someone might wonder, in the three things mentioned to Simon, there's the feet and, of course, the cheek for the kiss and the head for the anointing. But we don't see that in relation to the woman. Now, number one, I would suggest this. In the context of the story, it would be an inappropriate thing for a woman of the street to do that. But I think there might be a deeper meaning altogether, and it's this. Here is a woman who has reason to love the Lord Jesus. But it isn't just a question of inappropriate. It's a question of unworthy. I think this woman might be a wee bit like the woman of the next chapter. If I could but touch, if I could but touch the border of his garment. She just wants to get that close to the Lord Jesus. There's no thought of anything beyond that, if only that much. It just rings to us with her appreciation of Christ. Anyway, we're going to slip down to two or three of these things for a few minutes. One more thing, though, by way of background, I think it's important that we watch out for. If you work through your New Testament stories from a chronological point of view, and incidentally, it's always good to do that, interesting to do that. There's any number of helps that are available from a chronological point of view. Or you can do what I kind of do, slug away at it myself and try to fit things together and every now and then cheat by looking at what somebody else has done before me. But anyway, I think you'll come to this conclusion. The gospel records just prior to Luke 7 would put a little verse and a little scenario that's at the end of Matthew 11. What am I thinking of? In Matthew 11 and 28, and you can help me, I'm sure, with the verse, the Lord Jesus said one time, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." And notice he said, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." The chronology of the Gospels is such that that little verse seems to come before this. So could I make a suggestion to you? In a certain village in the land of Galilee, there is a woman marked as a sinful woman. And one day she would have heard of Jesus. They all did, I think, in those days. But she would have likely heard the Savior himself say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Here's a woman whose lifestyle and everything about her marks her as a sinful woman. And here is the Son of God, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." She heard from the lips of Christ what she wouldn't have heard from anybody else. She found in the person of Christ what she couldn't find in anyone else. This woman heard something that changed her life. Now we come to the little scenario here. Simon invites the Lord in, and incidentally, you will notice, I was mentioning Matthew and Mark and John, you will notice this. In the stories of Matthew, Mark, and John, the criticism of the woman comes from the disciples. But in this story, it's a criticism of the Lord himself, just another indication that they're two different stories. Simon invites the Lord in. What was his reason? I don't really know, so that's why I keep asking this question. You'll tell me afterwards, I'm sure. Did he want a little bit of popularity by inviting in, you know, this man that everybody's talking about? Is that a feather in his bonnet? Is that the way you put it? A feather in his cap? Or did he want at some point to toss out one of these catch-22 questions to show how smart he was and put the Lord on the spot? I don't really know. I only know when I read it, I ask myself, why did he invite him at all? He's not a believer. Why did I say that? This man, if he were a prophet, he's not a believer. So what does he think of the Lord Jesus? Anyway, that's not my subject, is it? What did the woman think of the Lord Jesus? Well, you notice then again, not only the three things that the woman did for the Lord Jesus, but three things she obtained from the Lord Jesus. Now she comes. The Lord will be reclining at the table, and I'm suggesting to you, she comes towards his feet, and then washes the feet of the Lord Jesus, the tears, wipes them with the hairs of her head, kisses the feet of the Lord Jesus, anoints his feet with that precious ointment. Now you'll notice that these are the things Simon failed to do. But here are three things the Lord said to that woman. Thy sins be from thee. Were her sins forgiven because she loved the Lord? Or did she love the Lord because her sins were forgiven? Were her sins forgiven because she brought the ointment? Or did she bring the ointment because of her deep appreciation of the person of Christ? I suggest to you it takes us back to what she heard, what she knew, what she realized. And that's why she came. Sins forgiven, one of the things the woman got. Thy faith has saved thee. The Lord doesn't always say that. Thy faith has saved thee. And thirdly, go in peace. Here's a poor woman then that wouldn't have known a lot about peace. And you and I, Christians, should be so thankful for the peace that we have in the Lord Jesus. In dealing with this little story, you notice the Lord tells that little parable of the two debtors. You notice Simon's answer. He says, I think rather guardedly, I suppose. There's any point in supposing on that one, is there? A 550 debtor, I suppose. 550. You know, the difference is significant, 10 times, isn't it? The difference is quite significant. But we don't want to miss a little thing when we read that little parable. And it's this statement, when they had nothing to pay. Now, if I were to say to you, what's the difference in a 500 debtor versus a 50 debtor? Well, mathematically, you can work away at it. What would be the difference in you and me if each one of us had a little debt over at the bank here in Kamloops? Your debt, by the way, is $10 million. Tough for you. Mine is only $1 million. That's all. $1 million. The bank wants its money tomorrow. Oh, poor you. Where in the world are you going to get $10 million to give the bank tomorrow? You're in trouble, mister. Just a second now. I only owe them $1 million. Am I any better off than you? Nothing to pay. With neither of us with a cent, we're in the same boat. And so you kindly remember, won't you, the little illustration the Lord is giving here. It's all very well from a human perspective to talk about the bigger debtor and the littler debtor. But they're on the same level. And when it comes to you and to me in relation to Almighty God, kindly remember there isn't a single thing we can do in relation to the great problem of sin. Don't judge ourselves then by the big sinners of the world and the little sinners of the world. See ourselves as we are before God, not a single thing that we can do about the burden of our debt, our obligations to God, nothing to pay. Simon says, I suppose, it's a logical answer. But I said to you, this woman receives three things that day. Her sins forgiven, faith has saved thee, and go in peace. She's got something she never had before. She's got something the world can't take from her. She's got something for eternity. And because she's got this, she loves the person of Christ. Can I just ask again, what about our love for the Lord Jesus? How much do we appreciate what he's done for us? May God bless his word.